Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Now, here is Dr. J. Otis Yoder with Hope for Today.
You know, friend, no one lives without some sort of discipline. I believe even the most immoral person lives by a standard. During the 60s, many restraints were cast aside. But those who longed for freedom, in reality, were led into a type of bondage which, so to speak, bound them hand and foot. What many failed to evaluate or understand was that no one is totally free when following the lust and dictates of the flesh, the lower nature. Discipline may be from without, for example, the laws of our communities, our states, our nation. But discipline may also come from within. We call that self-discipline or self-control. Yet self-discipline requires standards or guidelines. In my message this time, I take up the subject of proper discipline. I gather the guidelines from the Apostle Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians 4, 16 to 21. Find the text in your Bible. That's 1 Corinthians 4, 16 to 21. Follow now as I read the Holy Scripture. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause I have sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who will bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up, as though I would not come to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love, and in the spirit of meekness? From Paul's word I discern several essential guidelines we should follow to have proper discipline in life. The first guideline is, have a worthy model. Paul's confident instruction was, follow me. He said, be ye followers of me. In another place he said, be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 11:1. No doubt we all have someone we look up to. We often ask children when they are small, what do you want to be when you grow up? They have certain ideals. We do too. We have certain ideals we would like to follow. So be sure you have a worthy model, someone you can look up to. I remember a friend of mine. His father told me that when the lad was just a tiny boy, he said, I am going to be a missionary doctor. You know what? He was. He spent a number of years in Ethiopia, out there among the backwoods people as a medical missionary serving the people. Well, what do you want to be when you grow up? Or what do you want to be now? The Apostle Paul then speaks of a consecrated disciple, Timothy. He was just a young man when Paul first met him. He was in the town of Derbe, one of the towns Paul was in on his second missionary journey. He found him there, a devout young man, single. His mother was a Jewess, his father a Greek. So Paul went through the ceremony of having the lad circumcised because of the Jews and took him along. He was a devout young man. In fact, he said, nobody cares for your soul like Timothy does. And he could recommend him. He would say, I'm going to send you Timothy, who will bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I preach everywhere in every church. Timothy served Paul with care, and Paul could recommend him as a dedicated servant. That is a wonderful testimony, a wonderful relationship that Paul and Timothy enjoyed. Then we should look at Paul's consistent teaching. Some may have fashioned their teaching according to the wishes of the audience, but not Paul. Some may do that now. Yes, I remember, early in my radio ministry, when a friend of mine called at my office and asked me this question. Who is your target audience?
I said, I don't know. I believe if I am faithful in expounding the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will define the audience because I will teach the same thing everywhere.
In the summer of 1995, we attended a church convention. We had a short presentation of our ministry, just 9 minutes long. A friend of mine sat down to see it. I showed it to him, and at the end, because we are broadcasting to 3/4 of the world in 6 languages, he asked me, "What adaptations do you make?" You want to know what I told him? I said, "None. The message goes out the same all over the world." You see, I believe that the basic human problem is the same all over the world, and therefore I believe that the basic message must be the same all over the world. The second guideline is, have a working ministry. The apostle was committed to come to Corinth. However, there were some whom he called puffed up. Some are puffed up. I checked on that, and that means proud, just like the frog who tried to be as big as the ox. She puffed herself up and puffed herself up until she burst. Proud, dominating the congregation. They took charge, usurped authority, were puffed up. The apostle was concerned about their welfare. He said, "I will come." Apparently they thought that they were cutting the slough big enough, you might say, that the apostle Paul would be afraid to come, wouldn't want to come and be humiliated. But he said, "I will come according to the will of the Lord. I will come." The apostle Paul lived very close to the Lord. He lived in close touch with the Lord. The apostle said he would come as a confrontation to test reality, to see whether the speech compared with the power. That word power is a significant word. It is the word Jesus used when he told the disciples they would receive power after the Holy Spirit came upon them. It is a dynamic power. It is a power that can overcome the forces of evil. Sometimes novices take control to the ruin of the church. I believe that's what the Apostle Paul is aiming at. They learned the language, but lacked the anointing of the Spirit. Paul said, "I will learn not only your speech, but your power." Power is the essential factor, you know. So the second guideline is have a working ministry anointed by the power of God. The third guideline is have a well-defined method. Consider the difference. The apostle says in verse 20 that the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. There again is a difference between words and power. The kingdom of God is by the power of God, not by the words of men. Consider the difference. While I was studying in Greece a number of years ago, I had the opportunity of going to Mount Athos, the holy mountain of the Orthodox Church. My friend and I spent the night in a monastery. We were there with a Frenchman and a German as well. The monk prepared supper for us, and as we sat down to eat, he offered us each a glass of wine. I don't drink wine, so I refused as graciously as I could. Then after dinner, he reached into his inside pocket and pulled out a pack of cigarettes and passed them around. Again, I declined. I don't smoke. He said, "What kind of a man is this? He doesn't drink wine, and he does not smoke." Well, yes, I had disciplined myself. I would like now to share with you some words from Canon Liddon, perhaps 100 years ago. He had so much to say to us about this very passage in which we have been considering the guidelines for discipline. I quote him, "Picture to yourself a teacher who is not merely under the official obligation to say something, but who is morally convinced that he has something to say. Imagine one who believes alike in the truth of his message and in the reality of his mission to deliver it. Let his message combine those moral contrasts which give permanency and true force to a doctrine, and which the gospel only has combined in their perfection. Let this teacher be tender yet searching. Let him win the hearts of men by his kindly humanity, while he probes, to the quick, their moral sores.
Let him be uniformly calm, yet manifestly moved by the fire of repressed passion. Let him be stern, yet not unloving, and resolute without sacrificing the elasticity of his sympathy, and genial without condescending to be weakly accomplished of moral mischief. Let him pursue and expose the latent evil of the human heart through all the measures of its unrivaled deceitfulness, without sullying his own purity, and without forfeiting his own strong belief in the present capacity of every human being for goodness. Let him know what is in man, and yet with this knowledge clearly before him, let him not only not despair of humanity, but respect it, nay, love it even enthusiastically. Above all, let this teacher be perfectly independent. Let him be independent of the voice of the multitude, independent of the enthusiasm and promptings of his disciples, independent even when face to face with the bitter criticism and scorn of his antagonists, independent of all save God and his conscience. In a word, conceive a case in which moral authority and moral beauty combine to elicit a simultaneous tribute of reverence and love. Clearly, such a teacher must be a moral power. And I would add, and such a teacher was the Apostle Paul. Yes, my friend, we need proper discipline, regardless of our area or mode of life. Discipline is highly important. I believe we can now more clearly see which discipline is necessary and what it is. To reach the high calling of proper discipline, we must follow Paul's guidelines as I pointed them out to you. Here they are again. Have a worthy model. Ultimately, follow Christ. Have a working ministry. Give deference to seasoned leaders. Listen to them. Have a well-defined method. Saturate it with love and meekness. Yes, now let us pray. O God, the standard is very high. I confess this before thee, Lord. The standard of the Holy Scriptures is more than we can attain by ourselves. But I pray, Lord, that my friend and I both may better understand how to order our lives, how to be self-disciplined, how to let the Bible discipline us, how to let Jesus discipline us and guard us. Father, I pray, hear my prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Yoder, for reminding us of the need for proper discipline. Friend, we should understand that if we follow personal spiritual disciplines under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we most likely will not need the discipline of the church. But we do not pursue spiritual disciplines by nature. The pursuit of spiritual disciplines only becomes appealing when we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you do not know what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus, write to us and we will help you. Our mailing address is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or go to our website at www.heraldsofhope.org. And send us your letter by the email link provided there. When you write, we'll send a booklet to you called The Choice is Yours. Once again, the mailing address is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And the web address is www.heraldsofhope.org. Now you'll be sure to join us next week as we continue our Bible study. Until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.